In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. There's also another scripture that came to mind to me today. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. And we're talking about journeys. Everybody's born and raised with a certain mindset. We have the mindset of knowledge of good and evil. And we've been through a long journey. And we should have taken every piece of this journey all the way up to 43 to heart. And train our minds to go in the right direction. I tell you, I'm still, after going through this Torah portion tonight with everybody, I'm still guilty. I see in areas of where I need to change my mind. I got habits that need correcting. You know, since I was a little kid growing up, whenever something went wrong around the house, my grandparents, my mother, my family, their reaction was a certain way. So we learned the ways that they did. When something didn't go your way, it was, ah, oh. You know, it wasn't the way that Yahweh teaches or performs. So we had to change those habits. I was thinking about a guy's habit that came out on me on a trip the other day. It's a couple days ago. And when you're around this person, really nice gentleman. You would have never known that something like that was in a person. But we got out on the boat, we're fishing, catching some fish, and then all of a sudden, his line goes in the rope and gets hung up. So he's pulling on the rope, and he's out there finagling with it, and he's still trying to get it out. And me and the other guy, we're sitting there fishing, we look up every now and again, and all of a sudden, he lets this outburst. It startled us. I didn't know something like that could come out of a person. He goes, he's all mad. And finally comes out, he goes, ah, there, I've got it out. And I was like, my word. And I think about me sometimes, and things ain't just going your way. You know, just it wants to come out. And, you know, I think about after it's done, you look back, and you're like, okay, what was I really supposed to be like? Because it didn't bring me any joy. You know what I'm saying? What you're supposed to say is supposed to override something to bring you joy. You have joy. But the other way, all it does is bring stress, discomfort, and you're frustrated at everything, and you just get anxious, anxiety sets in. And so what does the Word say? We have to change our minds, right? So on this whole journey, taking all this and not just reading it and having knowledge, because without applying it, it'd be just like Yeshua said to the Pharisees and Sadducees. You're like whitewashed tombs. You got all this stuff on the outside, but you still have all this stuff in your heart. And so it brought me back to Deuteronomy again. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, he warned them for the journey. He warned them. He said, the whole commandment that I command you today, you should be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in, possess the land, go on into the promised land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, and you shall remember the whole way, the way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart. So the whole year that we've been going through this is supposed to be testing our hearts, the trial, the error, to remove the things that pop up when we're going through the things, when it's not going our way, when we're not getting what we want. And those things, to be okay with it. I might not be as prosperous as everybody around me, but this is the windows that He's opening up. And these are the windows and doors that He's closing. So it'll be a balance and a structure that He wants. His way, just like it was in His Son's way. Yeshua HaMashiach had a way to ride. And He didn't choose to be prideful and arrogant. He didn't choose to be like Hasatan. He didn't choose to be like Adam. He chose to be the servant, the humble servant. And He said, I am the way, the truth that leads to eternal life. And so like Pastor said, in that order, you see that through the journey. And so whether you keep His commandments or not, and He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you, He does it on purpose so you can pull it out. It's got to come out, or you'll be like the whitewashed tombs. And it's not an easy thing. You'll be going through some great times. Let me tell you something. A couple days ago, everything went my way for 3 days. It was incredible. It was awesome. Today did not go my way. And those things start popping up. And you make a comment, or you say something like, dang, why did that come out again? I got to work on that. Am I not the only one that goes through things? I'm sure the mothers probably get frustrated. My wife with Casey sometimes, I'm like, I start babysitting her for a little while, and I'm like, whoa, she goes through this all day long. So I'm like, oh. And you got to learn to adjust to certain things and not get overwhelmed and anxious. And so just adjust to things. It doesn't always go our way. So I got a lot of work to do still. So, and he humbled you and he let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know. There's a lot of stuff we've learned this year that we did not know. And it's been incredible. That man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you, so that you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land of which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills, whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes. Let me tell you something. No matter how far we go in this with the Father, we still have a memory. We still have those things that are there. But we got to learn to train them not to pop up and come back. See, there's a word that I learned today. It's called apostasy. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 2. We'll talk about it later. But this word apostasy in the Hebrew is meshubah. Meshubah means faithless, waywardness, turning back or turning away. To turn from the way that one is going and head in an opposite direction. Remember we talked about repentance is to turn from the old way. So once we're going one way and it's the right way, because remember the Father's way is perfect and it's right, it's pure. There's no wrong in it. But our way is tainted. Our way is not right. And so if we have learned and journeyed so far, and then we start reverting back to old habits, it's called apostasy. We start turning back to the... There's only two ways to go. Is there that way or that way? So whichever one we take in our mind and start using, that's the way we're going to go. So that's apostasy. So in Proverbs again, there's a way that seems right to man, but in its end is the way to death. Because the way we used to think before we accepted Yeshua HaMashiach as our Lord and Savior and started following his way, we used to follow our own thought patterns, our own way, right? And we don't know how it's going to go. We got a guess of how it's going to go, but we're really not sure. But his way is sure. He knows where we're going. We guess and we think. And our actions and our thought patterns is the way we used to think. And it's hard to break those things because it's the way you was trained from when you was little. And so we got to learn to train ourselves off of those. You got to train yourself from those habits. Because that's why he warned us again in Deuteronomy, be careful lest you forget. We got to stay reading and stay studying and listening and do what he says. Read, study, listen, read, study. Listen to the Spirit. Stay connected with the body. A brother or a sister in Christ like Brother Josh had for me today. I was trying to put it together, but I just couldn't quite find that little spot. Fall asleep on the couch. Then he wakes me up with a text. I had no idea. And then I'm like, man, I still didn't get some of the things. And then it clicked. I'm like, oh, journeys. So he says, if you forget the Lord your God and go after the other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. So you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And so going to Jeremiah chapter 2, in Jeremiah chapter 2, it says here, a command given to Jeremiah to go and carry a message from Yahweh to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He was charged to go and speak to them. Yahweh is showing his people their transgressions, even in the house of Jacob. The sin which they are mostly charged with here is idolatry, forsaking the true Elohim, their own Elohim, for other false gods, starting in verse 5. Yahweh is asking them a question to prove any instance of his being unjust or unkind to them. There is no unrighteousness in Yahweh, nor can any be done by him. Yahweh is a covenant-keeping Yahweh. So think about the journey. He's journeying them along. He gets water out of a rock. He sends them manna. He takes care of them all the way through. And all of a sudden, they're going in their own way again. Their own mindset. They came from Egypt the opposite way. It's not working for us. He's like, what about me? I promised I would take care of you the whole way, and I did. How does he feel about this? Think about it. This whole journey, I'm taking care of you. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm like, they're like, well, look, we're going to go this way. This is right. We don't want to listen to this anymore. And so we start reverting back to old mindsets. You start getting on a path you're not supposed to be on. And it was a serving the other gods, right? So he's a covenant-keeping Yahweh that they went far from me, from the word, worship in his ways. They went after idols of worshiping, went after idols worshiping them. There is no iniquity in Yahweh, so their fathers could not have found iniquity in him. You see, it's vanity that causes people to want to please their flesh. It's wanting what I want now. I don't see, going by what you see, and touch, and memory. The memory pops up. Things ain't, this don't seem right. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. And then lose focus on listening to the Holy Spirit and start leaning on our own understanding again. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge who? The one whose way is perfect. The one is leading us to the promised land. This is the way you should go. This is the way we should act. This is the way you should do it. And you won't have no anxiety and frustrations or this towards your brother wanting to kill him. Because it's not his fault, it's your fault. It's not everybody else, it's you. So we've got to change our minds. It says, so they pleased their flesh by worshiping things they could see with their physical eyes or touch with their physical hands. This is committing spiritual adultery. In verses 6 through 8, hearing Elohim's word, the people didn't even ask, where is Yahweh? They did not ask after him, nor seek his face and favor, nor worship him, nor took any notice of the blessings he bestowed upon them. Whence it appears that all their supplies, support, and preservations were from Yahweh. They were not seeking the true Elohim, who did all of these miraculous feats for them. They worshipped whatever was convenient at the time. Look at the list of things Elohim had done for them that would have left no doubt who Elohim is. He parted the Red Sea to save them from Pharaoh's men. He rained manna from heaven to feed them. He brought water from the rock to quench their thirst. Their shoes and clothes did not even wear out in 40 years. Elohim brought them into a land of milk and honey. I think about so many mistakes that I made through the year in his mercy and his grace. Your shoes didn't wear out. Clothes didn't fall off of you. I took care of you the whole way. You made all the mistakes. I still provided for you. I took care of all your bills. You don't have everything everybody else got. I took care of you, your family. Look at your children. They're not birth defected. They're in good health. Look at that. I took care of you the whole way. Even in my mistakes and my downfalls. Elohim brought them into a land of milk and honey. The promised land was a fertile land. It was so fertile, one cluster of grapes had to be carried by two men. But you know what? They got towards that way, but their minds didn't change. They didn't change their minds. And coming into the kingdom, we're not going to be welcome there if we don't change our minds. We have to quit leaning on our understanding and always acknowledge Him. He's got the perfect pathway. This is the journey. And we get to start again, 44, 45, 46, all the way back to 1 again. And isn't it incredible how we started not even at number 1, but we ended it in journeys, a journey. This was our first round of journeys. And then Pastor was telling me tonight that he started again on 44 already, that which we've already done. He's like, man, the stuff that you can remember. I can't wait to get there now. He done sparked a little spark in me. I'm like, man, I can't wait to read it again. I'm excited. And in verse 8, the prophets whose business it was to draw nigh to Elohim and offer the sacrifices of the people and inquire of Elohim for them, whose lips should keep knowledge and at whose mouth the law should be sought, they being the messengers of the Lord of hosts. And you see, the priests should have stood up and stopped them. It appears the priests and pastors did not take a stand for Elohim. This is very similar to the compromise that is going on in the church today. The pastors and the priests must uphold the word of Elohim. They must warn the people when there is error in their belief. The priests and pastors must not waver in teaching the truth. The worst thing of all is they listen to the prophets of Baal. What good could come of worshiping a false god? The answer is none. Reading in verse 9, Elohim is both the offended plaintiff and the divine judge. Elohim had given them every opportunity. He had sent prophets and holy men to warn them of this very thing. Elohim was still not giving up. He has now sent Jeremiah to plead with them to turn from their wicked ways. Elohim is actually pleading with them to repent and go the other way. Come back to Him. Elohim will not quit trying to reach them. That reminds me of the song. He'll go after the one to leave the 99. I love that song. Man, I love that song. He even would tear down all those lies to get to me, to open my eyes to see how much He loves me, right? That's what it says in the song. I listen to that song every day. In verse 11, Israel had been given the privilege of Elohim's glorious presence. The people had known Elohim as their glory, and yet other nations demonstrated greater faithfulness to their gods, which are yet no gods. In verse 13, Jeremiah warned that Elohim's people were trying to quench their cravings for salvation and significance in the wrong places. They committed two evils. I caught on to this one too. They committed two evils by turning away from the only true source of living waters and by creating cisterns that could hold no water, even if living water was available. Our tainted life can't help us. It's got holes in it. It keeps leading us to nothing. There's nothing there. It's always a dead end. But the Father, Elohim's way, has got a sure end, an expected end, right? And it's pure and it's right. And it's with Him. It's our relationship with Him. It grows stronger and closer. But the more we learn, the more we grow. In verse 13, the two evils. First, Israel had abandoned Yahweh, the source of spiritual salvation. Second, Israel turned to idolatrous objects of trust. Jeremiah compared these with underground water storage devices from rainwater, which were broken and let water seep out, thus proving useless. It's meaningless. Solomon talks about it. Oh, it's like chasing the wind. You're getting nowhere. Nowhere at all. I got this false email the other day. I know y'all probably get them all the time. And it's just a little story about a lady saying that she's from another country. She's got cancer and she's dying and she needs somebody to have the will. And I know it's not true, but I'm just listening to all she's got to say. and I have nobody in my family, and I have this inheritance to give, is $6.3 billion or something like that, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. So I just continue to read it. I'm kind of laughing a little bit. And it says, if you email me, I'll get back to you and send you a letter, and I'll get it in your bank and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I started thinking about it. I'm like, man, you know, the Father's been balancing my life and my work arena, where I got certain days I'll work, certain days I take care of other things, certain things in ministry, my family, my wife's family. It's just all, it's beginning to be a balance of doing His way. And I think about people that's got all those monies. And what if I got offered by somebody $6.3 billion? I'm like, you know what? I was honest. I said, Father, I really wouldn't want it, because I really like the balance You're working in my life right now. I think if I took $6.3 billion, I'd be gone. Seriously. My eyeballs and everything else would be gone after everything I could do. But I see all these other people that come on my boat and tell me all about the places they go all the time. I hear so much about going over there and hunting this place and that place and killing thousands of doves and ducks and getting everything and anything they want. And I'm like, okay, I'm balancing this out. I'll go and get $6.3 billion and I'll go all over the world and try and spend it all. And it ends in nothing compared to eternity. If I put just a penny a day and try, you can't even live that long. You know what I'm saying? I could outlive that $6.3 billion in eternal life. I can outlive it, right? I could probably live 8 billion years. Eternity is eternity. It's past 10 billion years, right? So there's no money that you can put on it. It's impossible. God is incredible. And the life He's given us, it's stupid for us to keep going revert back. There's no way to leave this. There's nothing over there. It's like a broken cistern. It keeps emptying out. It's meaningless. It's hopeless. So I want to just keep learning and do this Father's way. And keep learning how we've learned that Yeshua is the husbandman. I'm underneath Him. And He covers me when I make mistakes. And then I cover my wife. I'm the husband over my wife. And we cover them when they make mistakes. And then to our children, our daughters. So we just learned that out of the Torah. That was incredible. And then for Thursday night Bible study. Yeah, that was pretty incredible to learn that about Adam and Eve. And Hasatan, when did it all? It was all at the same time. That was incredible. That's all new to me. All we've ever heard is, it was Eve's fault. Yep, she did it. And now we're like, whoa, she was still glowing. And he got deceived. Well, nothing happened to her. Well, I want to be like God. I want it. And then boom, there he went. So that was pretty incredible. The children of Israel drank from this living water when Moses struck the rock and the water flowed. The living water always proceeds from the throne of Elohim. Israel has abandoned Elohim, who is their very present help. He controls nature, and no other God can furnish natural things to their people. They have abandoned Elohim and started worshiping things they made with their own hands. This is not only idolatry, but idolatry from those who should know better. These cisterns are things made with human hands and are very limited. The first evil things they did was turn away from Elohim. The second evil thing they did was turn to false gods. And so we can just keep going on and on and on in Jeremiah chapter 2. But it's all there. The whole thing is there in Jeremiah chapter 2. And you can go read it and just chew on it pieces at a time and see what they did and see what they could have served, and go revert back to Brit Hadishah and see what Yeshua shows us to serve and get ready for a kingdom that's coming. Because like Brother Scott just read the whole thing. This is what's coming. They trimmed their lamps. They were ready. We got to tune it up, sharpen it up, get our old habits out the way and keep learning of Him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's not easy. It's not easy changing these mindsets, these habits. But if we keep continually staying in His Word and listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll catch them and we'll hold them down and we'll change our mind. We have to change our minds. If there's something I missed or something else we need to learn again tonight, Pastor, you got something? I know. You want to save it for tomorrow? Praise the Lord. So the Father's incredible. And we got to keep the Spirit on. We got to listen. He's incredible. He'll show you stuff that you never seen coming.
Everybody's got to do four this week.
Up to 48.
45, 46, 47.
Do all the way through 47. That was our... The next Saturday, 48 starting. Yep. Okay. So we do have to come in the next Saturday ready and prepared with 48. Yep. Okay. And then remember in the morning, worship. Word. Okay. Love y'all. Have a... Okay.